It's always good to know that God is in the house. Now, what good is it if we could never feel Jesus? But we do, because we know he's alive. And everyone agrees to that. We've all experienced Jesus, haven't we? And if you haven't, you need to. Because God is here tonight. And he's willing to meet the need. He's willing to meet you where you're at. You don't have to go searching too far. You're here. Because God is here. And I just want to preach by the leading of the Spirit tonight. And I've had this message on my heart since we came back from conference, in fact. And it's been stirring me and I've been thinking about it. And tonight, I want to preach on this thought. I'm a miracle waiting to happen. I'm a miracle waiting to happen. And I want to build your confidence tonight. I want to give you some hope that God said he heals. God said he delivers. God said he saves. And that is what he will do. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your word, in the Bible tonight, if you will. In Jeremiah chapter 29. Pastor Downs touched on a bit of this morning. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now turn with me into John, into the New Testament. Gospel according to John chapter 2. Verses 1 we'll begin at and we'll go right through to verse 11. John 2, 1 to 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, man, if I refer to my mum as woman, I'd get an earful, I think. Woman, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water out knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and says to him, every man at the beginning does set forward good wine, and when men have well drunk, than that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Jesus' ministry had not begun until this miracle. No one up to this point had seen anything of this fashion, not even his disciples. Verse 11 says that after the miracle and his glory was manifested or made known, the disciples believed on him. As we read, the scripture tells us the wedding was on the third day, which some scholars would take that the wedding took place on the final day of the Sabbath, on a 7-day week, signifying the new creation. And even more, Jesus' endorsement of a God-given institution, marriage. Perhaps the only one who had seen something would have been Jesus' mother. The reason I say that was Mary had an unseen confidence in Jesus. We could see that from what we've just read, that her confidence was totally in Jesus. Whatever he says, just do it. Which would suggest that she had been a witness of some other miracles, which had not been recorded. Aside his birth and various events surrounding it, his mother had lived with more than just the carpenter's son. She had watched and seen Jesus growing up and had been graced with the King of Kings in her household. Wow, what a privilege, what a blessing to have not just a king, but the King of Kings gracing your household. But I'm telling you tonight, it can happen for you today. The King of Kings can grace your household today. He can be in your midst today. He can walk amongst us today. Amen. Mary was so confident that even though Jesus had made it clear that this was not his moment, woman, what have I to do with you? My moment is not yet. She pressed the issue and told the servant, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. I believe Jesus, out of respect for his mother and seeing her faith, honored her request. And furthermore, the word of God will always back itself up. Who believes that? We've seen enough that the Old Testament backs up the New Testament, and many other things happen that the word of God will back up itself. Jesus' moment of manifesting his glory was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31:2, don't have to turn there, it says, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together with the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and the herd, and their soul shall be as watered garden, and they shall not sow any more at all. And for wine and for oil. Hosea 14:7 says, and they that dwell under the shadow shall return, his shadow. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. And the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Amos 9:13-14, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they also shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. So would it seem fitting that Jesus' ministry would begin with water being turned to wine? It would be fitting that this prophecy should come to pass with the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It launched Jesus into the most prolific ministry ever known to man in the history of men. And it changed the world from that point on, that Jesus was born, that he lived a life for 33 and a half years, that he was crucified, and more importantly, that he rose again victorious. Amen. The governor of the feast had declared, after sampling the water made wine, that they had left the best stuff for last or the end of the feast. And generally, in practice, we want to serve up the best to begin with in hope that you fill everybody up and then what's left over, they won't want it. But somehow, Jesus had done a miracle, because we know that the process for making wine. You just cannot get it out of water by itself. There's a process. There needs to be seed. You need to grow grapes. You need to tread out the grapes to make the juice, and so on. And so Jesus has skipped an entire process, and there you got it, wine. But I want to encourage you tonight that as Christians, we so often get a sampling of the things of God, tastes, so to speak. Yet they were in our minds influential moments, touches of spiritual euphoria, but they are nothing. The way I read the scriptures, the way that I read the word of God, it always keeps us on the precipice of something great. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and even more important, his imminent return. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just when you think you've got it all, there's more. There's another step to take beyond where you are right now. Who's ever heard the word firkin, other than what we've just read here tonight? A firkin, a piece. Interesting word, isn't it? A firkin. Almost rhymes with gherkin, but got nothing to do with this. A firkin was an old English term used in breweries where they made ale. So one firkin is approximately 40 litres. So we were looking from anywhere from 80 to 120 litres of water per pot. So six pots. So it's a lot of water. A lot of water. And so these pots were nothing special. At most ceremonies like this, you would find these pots. If anything, they were pots to use to draw out water for washing hands, or cleaning of certain things, ceremonial things. However you look at this, the pots were commonplace. Jesus chose to use these pots to begin his ministry, these vessels. Such was the reflection of his ministry as well, that he would choose to come for those who were the least, those who were common, those who were disregarded, those who were considered of no value, and he would change them into something extraordinary. He would make something beautiful out of nothing. We are not told whether all the pots were completely changed to new wine. I do not read that there. We do not know if the wine that the servants poured out was the only part that was made wine. All we know is that Jesus made sure that there was plenty of wine to go around at the feast. Just like the water turned into wine, he changed our lives into a miracle. Those water pots were miracles waiting to happen, and so are you. Even if it is just one cup at a time. Just one cup at a time. And you know, I'm glad that Jesus didn't give me everything in one go, because it makes me want to seek him more. Makes me want to desire him more. Makes me want to chase after him more. Just one cup at a time. One miracle at a time. Just a small dose here and there to keep me, as it were, on the precipice of something greater. Something where I'm going to go beyond and do more for the kingdom of Jesus. And so just when you thought you had seen it all, guess what? You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. We read so many accounts just in the Word of God alone. In here is the book of miracles, the book of wonders, the book of the signs and wonders and power of God. The man with the withered hand, reach forth your hand, and it was made whole. the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus' daughter who was raised from the dead. The man who was born blind, where Jesus spat in the clay, made some clay balls and turned them into eyeballs. What do you see? I see a lot of dirt in my eyes. And he touched him again. He said, what do you see? I see everything. This is just my own words here. The 10 lepers, 10 people in one go, got a touch from the Lord and their leprosy left. But one came back to thank him. And he was made whole. I don't know what condition he was in. I don't know how many fingers were missing, whether his nose was missing or his ear was gone. I don't know what condition he was in, but Jesus made him whole. All his fingers grew back on his hands. His nose grew back. His ears came back on. This is a miracle-working God. He can take nothing and make it into something. What about the demon-possessed man at the Gadarenes? It says that nothing could hold him. They put him in chains, and he snapped those chains like little thin cords. But yet, Jesus delivered him. He cast the demons out of this man. And you know what? When people came to him, you know what they saw? A man who was clothed and in his right mind. And you know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you feel like you're losing it up here from time to time. Seek Jesus because he can put you in your right mind. He can give you some perspective that you haven't had before. He can change the angle about how you see things and begin to understand God. Now I see what it was all about. Now I understand why I went through that. Rather than we hold a shell around ourselves and we can't see out of that shell. What about the feeding of the 5,000 with a loaf of bread and 2 fish? Wow. Have you done that? You know, I read of a miracle where a man and his wife had nothing in the cupboards. But they were too embarrassed to tell anybody they had guests coming for dinner. They said, well, what do we feed them? And so they looked in the cupboard, and I'm just trying to rehash a story here that I've read, and it was something like rice and a few things, only had a little bit of it, enough just for them too. You're thinking, wow, how are you going to feed your guests, let alone feed yourselves? But you know what they did? They gave thanks. They prayed. And yeah, a miracle happened. God blessed the food. And as they were serving the food, it just kept increasing. They had enough to feed their guests. They had enough to feed themselves. God had done a miracle. And if you're in a place where you think the provisions just aren't quite making your needs, if you're in a place where you think that you're just falling short in some areas of life, seek God. Seek his word. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. What about when Jesus walked on the water? I'm just relaying these miracles to you tonight. When they saw him walking on water, that was nothing for Jesus. That was nothing for God in the flesh. He could walk anywhere he wanted to. It was nothing. But what was interesting was when Peter said, bid me to come out to you. And you know, walking on the water was the easy bit for Peter, believe it or not. You know where the hard bit was for Peter? It was actually stepping out of the boat. That was the hard bit. That was 98% of the effort, stepping out of the boat. 2% was walking on the water. But once he was there, he had faith. He had realized that Jesus was with him. Jesus was walking with him. And tonight, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I'm saying have faith. Step out of the boat. Walking on the water is easy. Walking with the Lord in general, you can do it. But sometimes, just taking that little extra step, God will do the rest. God will do the rest. And what about the woman of Syrophoenicia? The Syrophoenician woman who cried after Jesus, said, "Deliver my daughter. Deliver my daughter." And Jesus then turns around and says to her, "Woman, it's not meet that we should give the bread to the dogs." And the woman replied, she said, "But yet they eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Talk about humility, humbleness. And Jesus delivered her daughter that very hour. "If you shall seek me, you shall find me. When you shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." And you know something, the greatest miracle of all that happened in this place time and time again, and yet we take it for granted, I think, sometimes, is when I see somebody get filled with the Holy Spirit. How that God, such a holy God, can come into the life of a sinful man. But we know that through the grace of God, through his unmerited favor, through his love, that he is able to transform a sinful life and turn it into a life that is beautiful, turn it into a vessel of honor, something that he can use for his glory, and fill that person with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a miracle of miracles. That is a wonder in itself, that God could redeem us, that God could purchase us, that God could buy us back again to himself. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, then you need it. It is available in this place tonight. It is here for you to be filled with his Spirit. Acts chapter 2 tells us that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and tonight we passed that day, but I'm telling you, every day is fully come when we put it into the hands of God. Every day is a new day. Praise God. And tonight it is fully come that God is in the house tonight. That you can be filled with the baptism of fire in this place tonight. That you can be speaking with other tongues, that the Spirit of God gives you utterance. That is a miracle. That is a miracle worth seeing. And not only worth seeing, it is worth feeling. It is worth knowing that God resides within you. Jesus said in John chapter 14:12-14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I will do it. And it's a big turnaround from what Mary said. Whatever he says to you, do it. And then he's saying, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. And you know, God's faithful. God's faithful. Who here can put up their hands and say that God is not faithful? That God has never met them at the need? that God has continually fallen short of what he said he would do, that God, he just never makes it through, that he has failed every single time. Who could say that? You know, if we should say it even but once, it counts for everything. But I know my God is faithful. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. And tonight we can experience his faithfulness. We can experience his power. You can be revisited by God tonight. If you've been wandering sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. And tonight God can do that for you. He can take the sins. He can take the trauma. He can take the pain. He can take the sickness. He can take whatever it is that you need. He can take it out of the way. And he can make you whole again. In this place tonight, it can happen. I believe it. I know it. I have seen it. Praise God. That God has delivered. That God has healed. That God has filled with the Spirit of God. That God has said he would do what he said he would do. Praise God. You know, I have times at work, and I'm sure many of you would experience this. There comes a certain time of the afternoon, and it's probably around 2:18. Brother Drew and I have a little bit of a joke about that particular time, 2:18, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. You can ask us later if you like. But about that time in the afternoon, you hit a wall. And it doesn't matter how much you try and concentrate, how much you try and think, it's just not coming to you. I know I've got to do some work here, but it's just not happening. I look out the window, still not happening. I get up, have a quick walk around, it's just not working. The brain has stopped. But I have worked out if you push through that, if you will push through that, you know, rather than just splat and stay on a wall like a squash fly, you can push and persevere with Jesus. And you know, I'm going to say this tonight, why Jesus said they that endure. Have you ever thought about enduring something? Those that persevere with something? Yeah, living for Jesus requires a bit of perseverance, requires a bit of effort. Sometimes things get a bit uncomfortable. They do. Sometimes we get slapped in the face. You know what Jesus said? Turn the other cheek. Oh, lovely. You know, and sometimes you get the good biff. Hey, we all do. Bishop Downs has been living for Jesus, being the easiest life of all. No. And if I can ask, how long have you been serving the Lord, Bishop Downs? Wow. Believe it or not, 1956, and it hasn't been the easiest life of all, but it's been the best life of all. The best life of all. Yes. It's awesome. Awesome. Living for Jesus is the most awesome life of all. Best, bit underrated, but awesome is awesome. Living for Jesus is awesome. And we need to get a bit excited, I think, about coming here. Who agrees with that? We do. You know, I came here tonight believing that someone would get healed. Yeah, I did. If it was me, praise God. But you know, there's more than just physical healings that can happen. What about emotional scarring? What about spiritual healings? You know, what about these other things that God can do for us that he said he would do? I came here expecting God to do something, and God will do something. God will fill you with the Spirit if you want to be filled with the Spirit. No, God is not limited. God is unlimited. Praise the Lord. The only one to limit God is us. Just like those vessels of water. By themselves, they are just vessels of water. That's all they are. But with the power of Jesus Christ and his word, they became the extraordinary. They became the works of his supernatural. They became something where the governor of the feast turned around and said, "You left the best for last. You surprised us." And tonight, Jesus wants to surprise you as well. Because he's left something best for you, the best for last. And praise God, like I said before, there is nothing that God cannot do for you. Amen. You know, even in the book of Acts, it tells us that the people were laid down in the streets, that just by chance, that the shadow of Peter would fall on them and they would be healed. Wow. Where's my shadow? There you go. Praise God. What I'm saying here is they got to a place in believing and having faith in God where they knew that God would come through no matter what the need was. That God would shine through with his power. If we would have faith, if we would seek him with all of our heart, we've got to stop being content with what we have at the moment. Who's ever heard this saying, "It's as good as it gets"? Who's heard that before? It's as good as it gets. When it comes to kingdom-minded thing, it's not as good as it gets. Because Jesus has more for us. You know, yeah, sure, I have these hearing aids. But I don't ever want you to think, well, that's as good as he's going to get. Don't ever say that to me. Don't ever say that to anybody who comes in here with hearing aids, who comes in a wheelchair, who comes in on crutches, who comes in with something. Don't ever say, well, that's as good as it gets. Because I know my Jesus. I know what he can do. I know what he's capable of. He is a miracle-working God. And he lives and he dwells in us. It's not as good as it gets. Praise God. I know one day I'm going to get healed. I believe that. Praise the Lord. You won't ever see me on a ladder again at church. My wife won't let me either. But that was a miracle. For those who saw it, that was a miracle. Some said I hit my head on the curb as I came down. But there was nothing. There was no bruising on my head. There was nothing. Dislocated shoulder, yeah, that was painful. But that was it. It's a miracle. I had a swollen knee so bad one time I could barely walk. I prayed to God. In one night, I was healed. The swelling had gone completely down. Don't tell me that God doesn't heal in this day and age. Don't tell me that God doesn't do miracles in this day and age. Don't tell me that God doesn't work in our midst anymore. Because I have seen enough. I have experienced enough. I have felt enough to know that Jesus is alive and well. That Jesus is even here tonight. That if you would seek him, you will find him. You will feel his presence. You will be filled with his presence. Hallelujah. And I'm not the only one. There are many in this place tonight that could testify of the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. How he healed, how he delivered, how he brought about salvation, how he intervened at the most critical moment, which saw a miracle take place, how he saved marriages, how he united families, how financial crises were reverted. The crunch of the matter is, where are you tonight in your state of being? Are you content with as good as it gets, or do you want more? Do you want more? Do you want more? Yes, we want more of Jesus. Stop being content with where you are, because the day that you decide that, yes, I've got it all, I've got enough, is the day that you will die. The day that you decide that you think you've made it, the day that you think you've got it all and you fall into a state of contentment, is the day that you will die. Don't reach that point, saints of God. Keep yourself on fire for Jesus. Keep yourself alive in his presence. Keep getting excited to come to the house of God. Be determined to make it, no matter what the cost. I am convinced that God wants to do miracles in this church more than ever before. I'm convinced. I'm convinced that people who come in wheelchairs will be pushing them out. I'm convinced that people who are deaf will be walking out with their hearing aids in their pockets. I'm convinced that people who come in with crutches will leave them on their shoulders. I know that God can restore limbs, that God can bring back the broken, that folk who have struggled to have children can conceive. I have seen enough, praise God. I've seen the miraculous, how God has healed, how tumors have been shrunk, how cancers have been eliminated, and bones mended. The power of God is unlimited. Please don't limit Jesus anymore, but believe that God will come through when you pray to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. My God is the God of impossibilities. You ain't seen nothing yet. Eye has not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Paul wrote of another moment in Thessalonians, how that we shall be caught away to be with Jesus at the sound of a trumpet, at the shout and a voice of an archangel. But I'm telling you, ain't seen nothing yet. I want to build you up with some hope here tonight, saints, that when heaven happens, it's going to be indescribable. Any pictures that I can give you about a fantasy. But I'm telling you, what I've read in the Word of God is that I'm going to step into a place beyond imagining, because it says I'm not even going to know in my own mind what God's prepared. But I can sure give it a go, that I step into a reality. As I walk upon the grass and the seas before me, so calm and so quiet. And before I know it, I'm walking on the water. And I'm looking around and I'm believing that this is just amazing. And in another moment, I stop by a pathway. It's a gold pathway. I pick up a rock that's next to it. And I look at it, and I can see through it. It's transparent gold. And I wave my hand in front of the rock, and I think, this is amazing, and I put it back down. Then I realize as I walk along the pathway that this pathway was made of the very same gold. And I'm looking into this transparent gold as I'm walking up this pathway. I'm just giving you a little bit of my imagination here. And as I stop, I see Brother Kent down near the stream fishing. And there is the tree of life. The Bible tells us that. The tree of life will be there. And I venture on a bit further and I meet Brother Othen. You know, Brother, you and I are going to be about 20. Okay. All right. 33. You know, Bishop Downs, I'm going to meet you there as well. You know, Sister Jeanette, I'm going to see you there as well. Brother Jason. I'm going to walk past and go, wow, you look familiar. But your hair's all white and curly. Hey, let my imagination run wild here, all right? You know, an unfamiliar face approaches us. And he steps up to Bishop Downs. I'm putting you in the hot seat here tonight. I know you'll get me back for this later at some stage, but anyway. And you know who it was? It was John. He steps up to you and he says, you know, I was listening about how you said you won those races when you were in high school. And he says, you want a race? And I'm just going out on a limb here. What I don't know what's going to happen when we get there. All I know is I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. I want to know that my heart and my soul is in the right place right now. I don't want to leave it for another moment to get myself ready, because that moment just may never come. I may never be guaranteed to make it home tonight. God willing, I will. But I'm not guaranteed that's going to happen. But if I can get myself in a place tonight where I'm ready to be with my Maker, I'm ready to meet with the Lord, then it doesn't matter what happens from here on in. It doesn't matter what happens when I step out those doors tonight, because I know one way or the other, I shall see the Lord. I shall see His goodness. I shall see the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And so, why not get a healing tonight, a spiritual healing? Why not let God work on the heart? Why not let Him deliver you and strengthen you and encourage you through His Spirit? Everyone agree? We want to be there when Jesus comes. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Do you feel, as the musicians would come, like the water pot? Do you feel like the water pot tonight? Nothing special. Perhaps you feel ignored. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus is taking a special interest in you. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus wants to do something in you, because you are a miracle waiting to happen. God wants to do something tonight for you. But you're the one that has to take that step. You need to step while the waters are troubled, and step in and let God be God. You know, what we seem to be undervalued, underrated, God sees much more than that. He's looking beyond a common vessel. He's looking at potential. You have potential tonight to be more than what you have been. You are a miracle waiting to happen. God wants to take your life and He wants to fill it with much more than just the common element. He wants to fill it with the supernatural element. He wants to change your heart and change your mind and change the way that you've always been living into something extraordinary and beautiful. If you want the Holy Ghost tonight, I want you to come and seek God for it. I want you to get the Holy Ghost. There's no need for you to leave here without it. If you need a healing tonight, seek God for the healing. There's no need to leave the same way. Your miracle is here because God has saved the best for last. Let's all stand, praise God.